Good afternoon, you are tuned to Juno Afternoon here for Wednesday, the 30th of December, the year 2015. Today on the show, we'll be talking about Eagle Crest activities. Lauren Anderson will be here with an update on the Federal Ice Arena. I'll talk with Mary Ellison about the Juno Nordic Ski Team and Saturday's race. The forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with a chance of rain, mostly later on. Forecast for Thursday, rain. High temperatures around 39 degrees. New Year's Day, it looks like rain is in the forecast with high temperatures around 39 degrees. Rain in the forecast through Saturday with just cloudy skies expected on Sunday.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Flooding has devastated parts of the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma. Emergency managers responded after more than a foot of rain recently flooded buildings, washed out roads, and stranded residents. Shannon Buell with the tribe's Marshall Service says they have equipment and training to respond to floods, but this time were caught off guard.
We're used to seeing floods and flood activity in late spring, early summer time frame. And we usually start gearing up around February, March to get ready for that. This coming right after Christmas is kind of a surprise to all of us, and it's kind of got us up and moving quicker than we'd like this year.
Many residents of the Cherokee Nation live near lakes and rivers, so they're susceptible to flooding. 33 tribal officers cover 9,000 square miles of tribal and state land. The Bureau of Indian Affairs delivered 28,000 sandbags and an airboat to assist the tribe. Buell says social media has been a helpful tool in responding to the flooding.
Some people, elderly people, are in the house. They can't get out, but they're not life-threatening. They're surrounded by water. They can't leave. And so they put a Facebook post out that they needed water and some supplies. So that's the operation we're doing now. If it wasn't for that Facebook, they might not have been able to get out to let us know.
Statewide, flooding and related storms have caused some deaths and injuries. The Muscogee Creek Nation in Oklahoma is set to swear in new leaders. An inauguration ceremony is planned for Saturday for Principal Chief, Second Chief, and Legislative Council members. Principal Chief-elect James Floyd won the general election in November. Second Chief Lewis Hicks, who was unopposed, was reelected, and three new representatives will join the 16-seat council. The celebration will include hymn singing and a stomp dance following the ceremony. The Navajo Nation is building a utility-scale solar farm in northern Arizona. Mark Richardson has more about the project.
The facility, to be located on 300 acres near Monument Valley, is expected to generate enough power for 7,700 homes after it is completed in late 2016. Denise Bicenti with the Navajo Tribal Utility Authority says building the solar plant is part of a long-term strategy to change the way the tribes deliver power.
For the past several years, NTUA has explored renewable energy resource possibilities. This solar farm is our move into that field to establish a green economy for the Navajo Nation.
Navajo officials say the $64 million plant, to be built with a combination of federal loans and tax credits, will create about 100 jobs during construction and a handful of permanent positions after completion. Bicenti says the Navajo Nation decided to build the solar farm itself rather than hire an outside company.
Because we're the primary utility provider here in the nation, we felt it should be NTUA to take the major step into building a facility of this size.
She says the Navajo Nation, which encompasses parts of Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah, has not previously generated its own power but purchased it elsewhere. I'm Mark Richardson.
The U.S. Department of the Treasury announced last week the appointment of three tribal representatives to serve on the department's Tribal Advisory Committee. The three appointees are Ron Allen, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of the Jamestown Tsklallam Tribe, Lacey Horn, Treasurer of the Cherokee Nation, and Lynn Malerba, Lifetime Chief of the Mohegan Tribe. Committee members will advise the Treasury Secretary on a number of matters, including taxation and assistance for Native American financial officers. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support by the National Indian Health Board. Open enrollment for the health insurance marketplace ends January 31st. Many Indian health clinics are hosting enrollment events with help available. You may qualify for low-cost plans, zero copays, and deductibles. More info at healthcare.gov/tribal.
Kowanic Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction, taking place February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kowanic's news programming. Learn more at knba.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juno Afternoon. I'm Jeff Brown. I'm your host for today. Our first guest comes to us by the magic of the telephone, Jeffrey Claw from Eagle Crest. Jeffrey, howdy. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff, and thanks for having me. And yes, I'm calling from Eagle Crest, and we've had a fantastic day on the mountain today.
It's been a fantastic season for you so far.
It has been. It's been very, very good. Mother Nature's been very good to us. We do have snow on the mountain, and all of the lifts that are open were open now every day through Monday, January 4th. And we've got some a lot of people up here learning how to ski and snowboard and working on their skills and just really enjoying the mountain and the outdoors.
And speaking of learning, you're having the world's largest ski and snowboarding lesson coming to Eagle Crest.
We are. So on Friday, January 8th, it's the world's largest, we're participating in the world's largest ski and snowboard lesson. And so it's, this is a national effort through Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month to set a Guinness World Book of Records for the largest ski and snowboard lesson, the most participants in it. So it's a world, it's a nationwide effort. There's about 150 resorts, ski resorts across the country that are participating in this, and Eagle Crest is also one of them. So it is a first-time lesson, so it is for first-time skiers and snowboarders, and it's a $10 lift lesson and rental package. So a two-hour, or an hour-and-a-half lesson, lower mountain lift ticket and equipment rental. And space is limited, so we are asking for registration in advance, and you can find that information on our website at skijuno.com, and you can just click on the world's largest lesson photo on the homepage of our website, and it'll give you all the information, including our registration form. So we're really excited. We're hoping that we can get help the get into the Guinness World Book of Records. So it's a great season to learn how to ski and snowboard, and a perfect opportunity to also get in on a record-breaking event.
Well, that brings up another question. How many people can you fit in Eagle Crest on a good day?
Oh, well over 2,000. We can spread out the mountain quite a bit, Jeff, because we have four lifts that are operational, and then the way Eagle Crest is, it definitely skis much bigger, skis and rides much bigger than it is, because we also have the ridges and that you can hike to, both the east side and the west side of the mountain. So we can get a lot of people up here. We've had some record-breaking days up here during the holidays, lots of people learning how to ski and snowboard, and then also lots of people, season pass holders, families, adults, kids, all ages up here, just having a great time on the mountain.
Now, I was talking to somebody who has skied in Utah, and they got these wild, big, long runs, but the runs aren't as good as Eagle Crest runs compared.
Well, yes, Eagle Crest has got, you know, we are so lucky that we have Eagle Crest in the backyard, because we have terrain that will work for everyone. We've got the Porcupine Learning Area, which is a great area, runs for all ages who are first learning how to ski and snowboard. We've got the bowls, we've got glades, we've got steep short chutes, we've got some, you know, great intermediate groom terrain. Our groomers, Seth and the gang, are doing a great job at night. So Eagle Crest is, definitely has terrain for all ability levels, all ages, and Jeff, we're so lucky that we have it in our backyard.
So what's going on this weekend, other than the world's largest ski and snowboard class?
Well, the world's largest ski and snowboard class will be on Friday, January 8th, but this weekend, again, we're open every day through Monday, January 4th, so we've got lessons going out. There's lots of skiing and snowboarding. The snow bus is operating, and you can find that bus schedule on our website at skijuno.com. And we just invite everybody to come up and enjoy the last day of 2015 and ring in 2016 by coming up and skiing up on our mountain.
And what's coming up in the future?
In the future, so just a couple of things to think about. January 1st, if you're a season pass holder, you can bring a friend for free. So you just bring a friend to the ticket window, get a free lift ticket for them on January 1st. And then also Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month is all of January. So in addition to the world's largest ski and snowboard lesson, we've got some great promotions, some great opportunities out there. And you can find those on our website at skijuno.com. And then we'll talk more about it, but the end of the month, the last weekend in January, is our big 40th anniversary celebration. So it's going to be a week-long or a weekend-long celebration of lots of fun and reduced ticket and lesson prices and just a great time on the mountain.
I've got another question about the world's largest ski and snowboard class. What's the mechanics of it? Is it get out the instructor yelling out to everybody that they have a sound system?
No, we're going to divide it up into classes. So I've got all the instructors on deck. The lesson starts at 10, and there are some pretty strict requirements that go along with this, Jeff. So including we have to have a bullhorn start and a bullhorn finish, and we've got to videotape the entire thing, and we've got to take some photos of the entire lesson, and then we're going to have lots of people verifying that our numbers are correct. So we have to have at least 25 people to count as a venue for this event, and I'm fairly certain that we'll get 25 people. And it's just going to be a great time on the mountain, and it's a great opportunity, again, if you've never skied or snowboarded, to come in here and participate in a great event.
How many people do you think you've taught how to ski and snowboard over the past few years? You've been around there forever, it seems like.
I can't even think that I can count, because I've been teaching for over 30 years, not all at Eagle Crest, but I've been teaching skiing and skiers of all ages in the hundreds, I think. And I have so many favorites of them, Jeff, but I think all of the instructors up here on the mountain, we love to share a passion for skiing and snowboarding, and it's been great to see some big smiles and grins and successes on the mountain this week. So we're looking forward to a whole season full of it.
And what's the most common, and I don't want to call it a mistake, but what's the common stumbling block for a lot of people when they first learn how to ski?
You know, I think the common stumbling block, Jeff, to be honest with you, is that they don't take a lesson. Take a lesson from a professional. We have been trained, and we can know how to break it down and make it easy for you. And then I think the second stumbling block is that people just don't have enough confidence in their own abilities. And you just kind of have to go out there and give it a try and smile and have a great time.
And watch out for that tree.
Watch out for the tree.
All right. Jeffrey Clough, thank you for being on the show with me today.
Thank you, Jeff, and have a happy 2016.
You too. Thanks.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 30th of December, 2015. It's the wedding day of Percy Shelley and Mary Wollstonecraft Godwin, married on this day in 1816. They were traveling through Europe, came back to England. Mary was pregnant. They got married. She gave birth to a daughter who was premature, died after 2 weeks. A year later, January 1816, they had a healthy child named William. And that summer, they visited Lord Byron at Lake Geneva, Switzerland. And it was during that stay in Switzerland that Mary Shelley wrote her most famous novel, Frankenstein, came out in 1818. It's the birthday of the novelist and composer Paul Bowles, born New York City, 1910. He'd written musical scores for more than 30 plays, many of them on Broadway, for movies as well. Didn't devote himself to writing until after World War II. His first novel, The Sheltering Sky, also his most famous novel, came out in 1949, set in Morocco. He had moved to Tangier and became a full-time resident there in 1952. It was Paul Bowles who said, We get to think of life as an inexhaustible well, yet everything happens only a certain number of times, and a very small number, really. How many more times will you remember a certain afternoon of your childhood, some afternoon that's so deeply a part of your being that you can't even conceive of your life without it? Perhaps 4 or 5 times more, perhaps not even that. And it's the birthday of Rudyard Kipling, born in Bombay, India, 1865, his father, British artist, who ran an art school in Bombay. Rudyard Kipling wrote fiction, wrote poems, became popular, traveled the world, finally settled in Vermont, and it was there, in a rented cottage surrounded by snow, that he began to reimagine the India of his childhood, and he wrote the book for which he's best known today, The Jungle Book, about a boy raised by wolves who grows up with other jungle animals until a tiger forces him to go back and live with people. Here's a poem for today by Barbara Cooker entitled Monopoly, 1955. We start by fanning out the money colored like Necco wafers, pink, yellow, mint, gold. From the first roll of the dice, differences widen. The royal blues of Boardwalk and Park Place look down their noses at the grapey immigrants from Baltic and Mediterranean avenues. My grandparents, coming from Italy in steerage, measured their gold and olive oil, not banknotes and deeds. The man in the top hat and tuxedo always holds the good cards. The rest of us hope we can pay the electric company. We know there is no such thing as free parking, and bank errors are never in our favor. In the background, Johnny Mathis croons, "Chances Are," from the cracked vinyl radio. We played for hours in those years before television on the formica table, while my mother coaxed a chicken cooking all day on the back burner to multiply itself into many meals. The fat rose to the surface, a roiling ocean of molten gold. A poem by Barbara Cooker, Monopoly, 1955, from her collection Gold, published by Cascade Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
It's 19 minutes past the hour, and you're tuned into Juneau Afternoon. I'm Jeff Brown. I'm your host for today. Mixing the studios, Lauren Anderson from the Treadwell Ice Arena. Thanks for coming in, Lauren.
Thanks for having me.
So, how many people can you fit on a sheet of ice?
You know, you can fit about, probably 250, but comfortably skating, we like to see about 150 is a more comfortable number.
I've been talking to people about the history of the Treadwell Ice Arena. Can you give us a brief summary of what it's like?
Sure. So I did a little research today to get a little bit more on the history, since you had asked me about it. And I stumbled upon a file that was kind of a combination of miscellaneous paperwork and Some of the things that I found were from, oh, between 1997 until about 2003, which is when the rink opened. And something that I found from May of 1999 was really interesting because it gave a little background about the community of Juneau and their need and interest for indoor recreational facilities and the idea that they wanted to build something out in the valley that included everything. But at the time, it just wasn't feasible. So they decided to go to the voters in October of 1994, and it was turned down to put in an ice rink and a large facility, that multi-facility. So in November of 1997, we knew that there was an interest in a rink, and so the Douglas 4th of July Committee worked with the City of Parks and Recreation to identify potential projects that they could support as part of the 1898 to 1998 Douglas 4th of July Centennial Celebration. And of several projects discussed, the one that excited the committee most was in the Savico Park having an ice rink facility. And so they worked really hard to make this happen. And over several years, the committee collected $70,000 through sales of T-shirts, hats, pins, limited edition print, and donations from local businesses. And the committee decided to use these funds to help move the Treadwell Arena project to construction. And so that was back in 1997. And in all my quick history and research today, I found letters to the U.S. Senator in 1998 and a little bit more information from Rich Poor, and he was very involved. He was the president at the time of the Douglas 4th of July Committee, and they really started the funds and the research to get a facility that we have today.
Cool, and it's a fun facility.
It's a fantastic facility. If you haven't been out there, it's over by Sandy Beach. It's Treadwell Arena, 105 Savico Road. We have open skates for all ages and abilities. We have youth hockey, adult hockey, skating club, basic skills lessons. On Sunday, we actually have a parent and tot time, and it's free for your first visit. And that includes a lesson, and that's for kids 5 and under. And we have a lot of fun. It's just all about getting comfortable on the ice.
And you've got to learn to skate. Event coming up this weekend.
Yeah, well, we have a Juneau Skating Club, and they run the Learn to Skate program. And that starts next week. Yes, next week.
All right, well, all that information is probably on the website.
It is. It's through the Juneau Skating Club. There's, like I said, the youth hockey and adult hockey. And actually, the basic skills starts, I think, the weekend of the 11th or 12th. And it's Friday night, 6:30 to 7:30, or Saturdays, 11:45 to 12:45. And you can sign up in advance at JunoSkatingClub.org.
What kind of money does it take to run a facility like this?
Well, we use a lot of power. We use a lot of electricity and propane and oil, and so those are our larger costs, electricity being one of our largest. And so that varies depending from year to year, but we try to balance things out. We try to get more users in the facility to help offset the cost to run the facility. And we do a good job at that. We're always looking for new skaters and providing opportunities for skaters to come, whether they're beginners or intermediate or advanced skaters for that.
And how many employees do you have?
We have 16 employees, and that includes the manager.
And how many people do you have running the Zamboni? Everybody wants to run the Zamboni.
Everybody does. They love to drive the Zamboni. And people don't realize the skills that you need to have to drive that machine. But we have a full-time driver and then 4 part-time drivers. And that helps us cover our hours because we are open in the height of the season from 5:30 in the morning till midnight most nights and days.
It's just amazing you can run these people so late and so early.
Yeah, and there's a need and an interest, and we're really excited about that. And it kind of ebbs and flows, and we're going back into having a lot of users, and it's very exciting. We're happy to provide such a great, healthy facility and sport for people.
And how do you make different colors? How do you put the lines on the ice?
Oh, we paint them. There's specific ice paint, and so in August when we're putting the ice in, we put down our base layer, and that's just water, and then we put down a layer of white paint, and then we freeze that in with a couple of layers of just water, and that freezes in, and then we are able to paint the ice, and we paint it with a paintbrush.
Yeah. Hopefully bigger than an inch wide.
It is, yeah, but it's definitely can take a while, and we do try to get a couple extra staff in there at the time when we paint, and then we have to seal all of that in, and then eventually we get it thick enough where then we can drive the Zamboni on it. But it's all hand done with layering the water and painting because the machine with its studded tires can then pull up the paint, and then all that hard work can be ruined.
What kind of special events do you have coming up soon?
We have, some special events for the holiday weekend. We have our disco skate tomorrow night for the New Year's Eve event, and that's 2:30 to 4 o'clock. So that's before you kind of the festivities of the evening get going. So you can come and have a nice, healthy exercise at the rink. That's our disco open skate, 2:30 to 4 o'clock. It's $6 for adults, $5 for youth, and then $2.25 to rent skates. We'll be closed on New Year's Day on Friday, but then we'll have a nice schedule for folks to come out on Saturday and Sunday with a variety of events. We've got a freestyle skate, which is for figure skaters, and some hockey events. We actually have a family hockey, and that's gear required, but for those families that might want to come and play hockey together, all abilities, all ages can come out there. Like I said, you do need full hockey gear, but it's an opportunity for families to come and drop in and skate. The high school team actually will have some games on the 8th and 9th of January, so you'll have to come and watch the team play. They've had a couple of home games this year. It's been a great season so far.
All right. Lauren Anderson, thank you. Is there anything you'd like to come down and talk about?
You know, one more thing. We are actually doing a late season pass, and this will cover open skating, and that's $150 for an adult or a youth 17 and under. It's $115, and that's good for all of our open skates starting in January until we close April 10th. And if you're interested in a hockey season pass, we have our late season pass, which is $135 for an adult and $110 for a youth. It's a great deal, and if you're interested, you could give us a call at 586-0410. Maybe visit our website at www.juno.org/parksrec/icerink, or just stop on by. Hope to see you this weekend at the rink.
And you do ice sharpening, skate sharpening, too.
We do. We do skate sharpening, which is fantastic. And now that we've got some colder weather, hopefully those lakes will freeze, and then we some folks can get out on the lake and skate. But we do offer skate sharpening, and that's something you can just bring your skates in, and it takes us about 5 to 10 minutes. So you can just sit and wait, and then we'll get them ready for you real quick.
Lauren Anderson, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Again.
Thanks.
Take a skate in a figure This New Year's Eve, boogie down with KXLL for All That Glitters Is Soul, a disco sparkle party at the Alaskan. We'll be spinning a funky mix from 9 until close with a Soul Train dance contest at midnight. No cover and 21 and over. Peace, love, and sparkle.
It's about 32 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into Juno Afternoon. I'm Jeff Brown. I'm your host for today. Next guest is not here in the studio. She's on the phone. Mary Ellison, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff. How are things in Juno? I'm in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
What's the weather like there?
The weather is 5 degrees, and it's my parents live here, so we've been here over the holiday. So we're just doing a lot of skiing, getting ready for the Juno Nordic Town Race Series that's coming up here starting on January 2nd, which is a collaboration between the Juno Nordic Ski Team and the Ski Club. And we have our first race starting this Saturday at Eagle Crest. And we just wanted to talk about that a little bit, I guess, and invite the entire community.
Sure. Give us an overview of the race, please.
So the race... the race series starts on Saturday, and we have bi-weekly races. They're every Saturday at 10:30, unless otherwise noted. And people can look at the Juno Nordic Ski Club website, or they can look at the Eagle Crest website. They're posted on there. But this Saturday will be a 2, a 4, an 8, or a 12K, either Skater Classic, and many people know Odin and Frankie, Odin Broody and Frankie Pilafont, and they'll be coordinating that race with our head coach, Abby Lowell. So show up at Eagle Crest and be ready to go. I encourage people to be there at 10 o'clock to warm up, and we'll give them the lay of the land and what's going to happen. So,
how many skiers do you estimate take part in a race?
Well, we're pretty excited because our Nordic Ski Team has been alive. This is our sixth year, and we have 25 youth on that team. And I think we've had about 40 people in every race. We had some bumps last year with our snow conditions, but it's an exciting way for us to get together as a community and celebrate through a race and fun series. So I imagine there'll be between 30 and 45 skiers, depending on who shows. But this race is called the Resolution Race, so it's a good way to start your year.
Is there a website that has more information on it?
Yeah, I think the website will have similar information, Jeff, and the community. But I think the best thing I could say is show up at Eagle Crest at 10 o'clock and be ready to go, and there'll be information. Or look at the Juno Nordic Ski Club website, and they'll post some information there.
For people who are new to skiing, cross-country skiing in particular, Nordic skiing, what kind of gear should they get just starting out?
Well, a lot of people really like skate, and Eagle Crest gives good classes, but I believe you can rent skis up there at Eagle Crest that are classic. Classic is my favorite kind. In Juno, you can do both because they groom for both, whether that's at the campground or Montana Creek or Eagle Crest. But I think that the easiest way to start out is on a good pair of classic skis, no wax classic skis, and get your balance and move to skate. But other people do it the other way, Jeff, so you can have fun on either. It's good to get out with either a teacher, an instructor, or a friend to give you some pointers, whichever way you go. So.
And the first race is this Saturday.
This Saturday, January 2nd at 10:30 is when the gun goes off, so to speak. And I know there's a lot of great prizes. I was looking at an email from Frankie today. She's a coordinator. So show up at 10 o'clock and get warmed up, and there'll be more information when you get to Eagle Crest. Or, again, go to the Juno Nordic Ski Club website.
Mary Ellison, I want you to get back to your skiing activities today.
Thank you, Jeff, and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Hello, this is Donald Trump, your next president of the United States. Now, as you already know, my campaign is huge. I mean, it's really terrific. But you want to know what else is terrific? The Capital Steps New Year's edition of Politics Takes a Holiday. Tune in, and you'll be lucky enough to hear from me.
Let me explain my views. They are shut up and vote for me.
So don't be a loser. Listen to the Capital Steps New Year's special on this public radio station.
New Year's Eve at 3 on KTOO News and repeated at 4 on KRNN FM, Juneau. That's the Thunder Mountain Big Band. Enjoyed that? You'll want to go to the Thunder Mountain Big Band Dance with the Juneau Jazz and Classics, folks. 8 o'clock lessons, 9 o'clock dance at the Juneau Jazz and Classics Festival to the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. If you need more information on that, check out their website, JuneauJazzAndClassics.org. Coming up next, we have a New Year's Eve song for everybody. This is produced by George Wallace. Used to live here in Juneau. And the vocals are by Taylor Reddick.
Happy New Year, happy in the brand new chance. Happy
That's former Juno resident George Wallace, lead assisted by the vocals with Taylor Vinnick.
The New Year's Eve Barnett's is always a fun and relaxed way to close out the year with friends and neighbors. The Taku Gales provide this year's live music, and Tom Paul will teach and call modern and classic contra and square dances. As always, you don't need experience or a partner. Join us New Year's Eve at St. Anne's Parish Hall downtown from 7:30 to 11 for a low-cost, high-fun evening out. Discounts for students and seniors free for AmeriCorps and JVs, sponsored by Juno Folk Dancers with help from KTOO. It's the New Year's Eve Barn Dance.
This is Bird Note. For the better part of 2,000 years, the waxwing was credited with an amazing power. It was believed in all earnestness that these gentle, crested fruit eaters glowed in the dark. Pliny reported that their feathers were said to shine like flames in the dark forests of Central Europe. The Latin scholar Solinus went further. Not only did waxwings throw off a warm glow, he said, the Germans used captive birds to light their way when they were obliged to travel by night. But at the end of the 16th century, the great Italian birdman Ulysses Aldrovandi was skeptical. In his 12-volume Encyclopedia of Ornithology, Aldrovandi admits that the waxy red tips on the bird's wing feathers are beautiful, but he dismisses the notion that they give off any kind of light. How could he be so sure? For nearly 3 months, he writes, I kept a waxwing alive in my house and observed it through the night. He goes on to note the bird stubbornly failed to emit flames or light of any kind. Today, no one thinks that waxwings glow in the dark. But that doesn't stop these winter nomads from brightening the birdwatcher's day. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott, inviting you to join Governor Bill Walker, First Lady Donna Walker, my wife, Tony, and me at our first community celebration of winter holidays around the world. No matter how you celebrate this time of year, join in the fun and be a part of this Bridge Builders of Juneau special event, Sunday, January 3rd at 2 p.m. at the Hub, across from Fred Meyer. Learn more on Facebook or email bridgebuildersjnu@gmail.com. Please join us.
What we most often hear is bad news about our teens. That alters what we know is true. Most Alaska teenagers are doing positive things. They're volunteers, role models, and much more. Spirit of Youth tells these stories.
What you're hearing right now is 16-year-old Kenani Halverson of Ketchikan playing the didgeridoo. She taught herself how to play this tube-like instrument, which comes from the Aboriginal people of Australia.
It's all just buzz and vibration in your lips. The farther it is from your teeth, the less direct vibration there is. And then when it's closer, it vibrates against your teeth and your lips, giving it more of those flings and flutters. I've done a lot of research on it because I think that it's a really cool subject, and, you know, being just a 16-year-old playing a didgeridoo, that's not a common thing. And I mean, there's no, like, chair auditions for didgeridoo in my band, so it is primarily a recreational activity that I do just out of my own pleasure.
Kenani's been playing the didgeridoo since her father bought her one at the music store when she was about 10. She says she got excited back then because she'd been shown one in school.
Oh, that's a didgeridoo, and I'm like, I know what this is, and my dad's just like, do you want to get this? And I'm like, yeah, I know all about it. And so then I somehow talked my dad into letting me buy a $60 tube. Been playing, figuring out how it works since.
Kenani plays more than just the didgeridoo. She says she's learning piano, and she plays the bass trombone in both the wind ensemble and the jazz ensemble at Ketchikan High School.
I love being and playing in bands. Like, it leaves me at a lack of words. I just think it's so cool and so exciting.
I'm Shanna Sheehy.
You know of a teenager making a difference where you live? Take some time right now to nominate them for Spirit of Youth. Get more information at spiritofyouth.org.
Listen to this story again at spiritofyouth.org.
Thank you.
folk music, looking for something fun to do on a Wednesday night. Then tune in to Friends and Neighbors, 7 to 9 p.m. on KRNN 102.7. Hi, this is Mike Sicarius, host of Friends and Neighbors. Together we'll explore and enjoy the breadth of folk music from blues to ballads to banjos and much more. So kick back and relax this Wednesday evening with Friends and Neighbors, 7 to 9 p.m. on KRNN 102.7.
Just a few minutes before the hour, and you are tuned to Juno Afternoon here for Wednesday. Coming tomorrow night, Juno Afternoon, the Capitol Staff's New Year's Eve special. And tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on KTVO News, the Writers Showcase. Tomorrow night's theme is on Ingenuity. We've got a few more minutes left in the program today. Here's a little bit more music from the Thunder Mountain Big Band as they're performing Thursday night in the Swing Into the New Year event at the Juno Arts and Culture Center, brought to you by the Juno Jazz and Classics folks. Forecast for tonight, strong wind is expected later on through Thursday morning. Forecast for the rest of tonight, chance of rain and snow, temperatures steady around 32 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, windy and rain weather predicted, high temperatures around 36 degrees. Thursday night, rain with low temperatures around 34 degrees. New Year's Day looks like rain with high temperatures around 39 degrees.
We're off on a spree.